See, for your kind information, Charles Darwin never said living things came from matter. He never said that. He said that the absolute creator must have breathed out two or three forms. That is a statement he has written in his book Origin of Species. But he spoke about evolution. So these are two different things. One is about how the first living thing originated. Did it originate from matter? Or did it originate from a living form, isn't it? So that is one subject. And another subject is, after two or three living forms come, how did the further living beings come? That is called the evolution, we call it. So first we are going to talk about the first living thing, how it came. So here if you see this, one of our friends, Ajay. So we were talking about the theory of spontaneous generation. One Dawkins, he wrote a book called The Selfish Gene. In the preface to his book, he says that this book should be read as if it's a sci-fi book. Why? Because he says that he is going to bring some things which he, by his speculation, he feels might have happened. Like here he says, I can make it a little bigger for you. So he begins like this, that in the beginning the earth had an atmosphere composed of carbon dioxide, methane, ammonia and water, and then some energy supplied by sunlight and volcanoes and everything. The simple components broken apart and reformed into amino acids, and then the sea, and then they all accumulated in the sea and formed the organic primordial soup, and then the protein like compounds combined and formed a layer over them, and then still it was lifeless. And then he says a particularly remarkable molecule was formed by an accident. He says, that had ability to produce itself. He doesn't say how. He says that the accident was exceedingly improbable, but nevertheless it happened, he expects. And then he says, similar molecules clustered together, and again by exceedingly improbable accident, protective barrier of other protein molecules came, and then finally the first living cell generated, he says. And then he says how from that single cell, eventually, it became more and more complex, it grew. So, let us see further. See, these are the six steps involved in the step which we said just now. These are the steps involved. First is there should be presence of right primitive atmosphere and formation of the organic soup and forming into simple compounds, and then proteins and nucleotides, and then the membrane should come, then genetic code should happen, replication. So down below what we are showing here is we are going step by step. See here, the problem one, you see. See, I have put all the six steps here. Up to this, these are the six steps, I believe. Yeah. Okay, including this. Yeah. See, these are the six steps. See, step one, was oxygen present in the Earth's primitive atmosphere? If you ask, if oxygen is present, simple compounds wouldn't combine to form amino acids. They cannot form. So let us say that oxygen was not there, but oxygen is required. Why? Because amino acids formed would immediately be decomposed by cosmic rays if oxygen wouldn't be present. So any of you, if you have studied this subject, you can answer the question, was oxygen present or not present? Oh, you can answer, yeah, surely. Yeah, you can have the mic also. Yeah, you can give the mic, yeah.
Initially oxygen was not present. So at that time it was a reducing atmosphere. So reducing atmosphere basically means anything if oxygen or molecule was there, it immediately combined with something or the other. So initially reducing atmosphere was there, and after a particular point oxygen was made as a byproduct. So basically it was something that the
what caused that byproduct to happen?
Anaerobic bacteria did not want oxygen to be there. Basically what happened was oxygen, once it started saturating, you have a particular layer in the Earth's geology where there is a lot of iron just rusting. So there's in geology, basically even now we mine that particular layer to find iron.
See, I can ask you this question, but the same question was asked to Dawkins. You can see what Dawkins says. Here he says, Actually, without oxygen, the amino acids formed would immediately be decomposed by cosmic rays. And then he goes on to say, actually, I have only cut and pasted only the important portions from his writing. But if I take the book, I can show you. See, then he says, was the energy supply present or not by the sunlight or by volcanoes? Okay, if energy was not present, the simple compounds would not have split and no formation of amino acids possible. But if energy was present, it will immediately decompose the amino acids. Isn't it? This is the second problem about the energy supply. Then as you proceed further, did amino acids... See, one important thing you will notice here, we are giving lenience. The first step, first of all, how was oxygen present or not present, that is not yet answered. He himself says that. Let us just imagine that we have crossed over this problem and we go to the second problem. Second problem I told you, problem 2. Problem 2 was this. Problem 1 was oxygen, problem 2 was energy. If energy was supplied, the simple compounds would not have split and no amino acids formed. And if energy was present, that would decompose any amino acids that formed there. So therefore, the amino acids have to escape, so they went into the ocean. Correct? Now then we may think it will get protected, but what happens here, you see? Did the amino acids stay inside the water or outside it? Outside it, what will happen? It will get evaporated by the cosmic rays. If it goes inside the water favors breaking up of big molecules and not their formation. So outside the water, they would be decomposed by cosmic rays, yes? Now you check it.
Hello. Okay. So many years ago, maybe 4.3 billion years ago, the moon was pretty close to Earth. You know, so at that time the tides were pretty high and pretty low. So there was a sizable amount of shallow area where the amino acids were not, you know, extremely wet nor extremely dry. So it is normally in.
Dawkins doesn't say that.
Okay, maybe, but
you could see. We could speculate many things. See, one very important thing I'll tell you, speculation, for example, say this room is closed completely, you are outside and you hear a loud noise coming from the room. What all you could say maybe, you know, some family members are fighting in the family, you may say that. That's one possibility, isn't it? Or somebody may say, no, some drama practice is going on, you know, some rehearsal is going on. And then when you open the room, you find nobody there, only TV is going on, correct, no? Speculation is a very wild thing. Like wild goose chase. So what I am saying is, see, we all are very young people, but scientists are very, you know, people who have done a lot of research on this and they have discussed about it. So when Dawkins talks about this step, he says that this is a scientific problem. He says that amino acids, if they go inside water, the water doesn't favor, you know, amino acids to stay as it is. It favors breaking up and not their formation. And outside the water, keep amino acids, they get evaporated to the cosmic rays. So the evolution process doesn't, I mean, not evolution, I mean, spontaneous generation of life, it's not favoring it. Then let's go ahead. So the Francis Hitching says, the theoretical chances of getting through even this first and relatively easy stage, getting amino acids in the evolution of life are forbidding. This is a very famous scientist, Francis Hitching, he says that. And then biochemist George Wald says, the most stubborn problem that confronts us evolutionists, he says this. And then we proceed further now. Okay, let us assume that somehow amino acids came. Let us assume. Let us give it a chance. Now let amino acids be there. How did specific amino acids form in the organic soup? Specific means what? Here the explanation is given here. Here it says here, see there are 100 types of amino acids, out of which only 20 are needed, and the 20 also should be left-handed, all of them. And should they be formed at random, as in a theoretical organic soup, it's most likely that they would be a mixture of half right-handed and half left-handed, like that. But yet only 20 specific amino acids, all left-handed, should be needed. And the example is given here. I have not given here. One example was given by scientists. They say that, imagine you have 100 types of beans. Say in that there are red beans, there are white beans. So like left hand and right hand. acids. And when you put a scoop, when you put a scoop and pick up the thing, you should only get red beans and you should not get any white beans. That's one condition. Plus, in the scoop, you should find all those red beans in a specific order, one after another. And what is the probability for that? If you want to know, they have made a calculation of the probability which comes follows just now, after this. After saying about the proteins, it comes. See here, the proteins needed for life have very complex molecules. 20 specific left-handed amino acids need to combine at a specific sequence to form a protein useful for life. So what is the chance there? Here is it said, it's good. You see, here is example given here. It could be likened to be having a big, thoroughly mixed pile containing equal numbers of red and white beans. 100 varieties of beans you have. When you plunge it, you should only get 20 varieties of red beans alone. In the world of protein, a simple mistake in any one of these requirements would cause the protein that is produced to fail to function properly. Everybody knows it. Would any amount of stirring and scooping in our hypothetical bean pile have the right combination? That's the question. So here is a probability for it. Evolutionists acknowledge it only to be 10 to the power of 113. In mathematics, if you get anything like 10 to the power of 50, it is dismissed as a mathematical file. You know, beyond that you don't go. But therefore, it is a mathematical impossibility. Therefore, one Hoyle, he says that one chance in 10 to the power of 40,000. Actually, I have not given you the full detail. Finally, they arrive at this figure. He says that it could not be phased even if the whole universe consisted of organic soup, he says. Still, life wouldn't arise. That's what he concludes. See, this is not my sentimental blind statement. It is one of the scientists says that. On Fred Hoyle, he says that. And then, beyond all this, there is the last thing which comes, genetic code. It's like asking, which came first, DNA or protein? No scientist can answer it today also. It's like asking, which came first, chicken came first or egg came first? Somebody says, see, from egg, chicken comes. So, egg must have come first. He may say, but egg comes from where? It comes from chicken. They're like the same is the problem with DNA and protein also. Which one came first? So Hitching says proteins depend on DNA for their formation, but DNA cannot form without pre-existing protein. So which one came first? Answer must be they developed in parallel, some people say. So in this way, that is the last step which is explained. So actually, I am not going to the different things I have collected here. I am only going to go point-wise. One of the things I told you here is spontaneous generation of life from matter is simply a theory. There is no practical proof. Today, can scientists show from chemicals they can produce life? In fact, in University of Illinois, one scientist was speaking for 2 hours about the chemical evolution theory and the spontaneous generation theory was speaking. So one student stood up and asked, "Sir, you are talking about life coming from chemicals. I will give you amino acids right now. Can you take amino acids and produce life and show us in the laboratory?" He said, "That I cannot say," he said. Why he cannot say? Because no one has done it. Nobody has shown it. It is only a theory that maybe the life has come from amino acids. During one of your talks, he made one interesting point that it seems that in the living forms, the stage prior to that is amino acids. You know? So if amino acids are getting formed by Miller's experiment, then it is likely that, you know, very soon the life may form, correct, no? By passing of electricity or things like that. That's what everybody suspected. They thought like that, you know, when they heard about it. But now you will find, you take a lemon tree, for example. In a lemon tree, the lemon tree produces hundreds and thousands of lemon fruits. And they produce tons of citric acid. That means when life is present in a lemon tree, it produces tons of citric acid. Now you take those citric acid, from that, can you produce a lemon tree from that? Can you produce life from that? You don't see that. You don't see living forms coming from chemicals. But you see chemicals coming out of living forms. Like all of us are living beings, you all agree. Now we pass stool, which is nothing but hydrogen phosphate. We pass urine, which is also urea. So these are all chemicals. We sweat. Sweat also has some chemical, isn't it? So chemicals are coming out of a living body, but the combining of the chemicals doesn't produce life. And not only chemicals, there is nobody in this world who can show you that from matter life can originate. Till date, no scientist has shown it. It is only a theory in paper which Dawkins wrote. Dawkins wrote in his theory, because why Dawkins did that, there is a reason. When Darwin wrote his theory, he talked about evolution without talking about the first living entity or first living creature. He didn't talk